We're listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. Today is Monday, and I need to make an announcement. Tomorrow is the first Tuesday in April, and on the first Tuesday in April, the Dallas County Community College District Board of Trustees has their meeting, so our show will be preempted, as will several other shows. So there won't be a show tomorrow. I'll have my day off. I normally would like to give a show, but I like to do it in the studio. And for that reason, I decided, made a decision that when I'm preempted, I will not try to do a show, for example, in a recording area that we have. So tomorrow, there will not be a Pronk Pop Show. I don't have a television at home. I don't watch TV. I do a lot of reading at home. I read, I think, several books over this past week, fiction and nonfiction. But because I don't have a TV, I don't watch the Sunday shows. Now, when I did have a TV, I would be one of these people that would watch the McNeil-Lehr Report. I'm really dating myself there because they're both retired now. But that would be the one show I'd definitely watch during the week. And then I'd watch the Sunday talking head shows, whether it be Face the Nation, Meet the Press, and others. But now, because I've decided to, when I'm home, to focus in on reading and writing, I deliberately, at least for the time being, don't have a TV. That will change probably in the next year or two for different reasons, because I'm really waiting for the prices of the very high definition, the so-called 4K, they're not actually 4K televisions, to drop in price. And they are dropping, but I think it'll be at least another year before they dramatically drop and hopefully go into smaller size screens. Right now, if you want that type of television, you're looking at somewhere $1,000 to $1,500, and they are very, very big screens. I have no problem with that, but I just don't want to spend that kind of money on a television set because, listen, they wear out, especially if you watch a lot of it, and the technology keeps developing. And if you've haven't looked at those TVs, I'll give a plug. I went into Walmart just to see what they had and what the sizes were. They're stunning. The problem is you don't have programming yet that takes advantage of that technology. You will have shortly, and you have more and more. So that's what I'm waiting for, and then probably I'm going to get sucked into watching TV again. But that's what I'm waiting for. So the reason I tell you that is it's really Monday before I find out, well, what do they say over the weekend? And Hillary Clinton is in the news. And yes, it's on the abortion matter, and whether an unborn baby has constitutional rights. Actually, today, they don't have. And because of that, babies are being killed by the thousands every day in the United States. We're a so-called civilized country, yet we are killing babies all across this country every day in abortion clinics. So in preparing this show, I wanted to look at, originally two, but I decided to make it three people's views on this subject, and as well as expose you to some information that I think may or may not change your mind, and I make it available, and I need to say this before I get into it. If you have not listened to the Prompt Pop Show before, the way you can listen to this show as a podcast or download it or stream it is to go to pronkpops.wordpress.com. That's pronkpops, pronkpops.wordpress.com. And if you go there, you'll have at the very top under my picture the most recent 60 to 80 shows. And this is show 651. And it hopefully will be posted by about 10 o'clock tonight. That's what I'm shooting for. And then below it, and this is the important point, I have some of my show prep. And that includes YouTube videos, articles, photographs, charts, cartoons, whatever the subject matter or story I'm commenting upon is. And sometimes it's extensive, sometimes it isn't. Now, last week I gave a story. The story in the news, you couldn't avoid it, was Donald Trump was at a town hall meeting with Chris Matthews, was asked what I call a gotcha type question, an ambush gotcha type question. And one way they set it up is they always do a scenario. It's a hypothetical. And the hypothetical was this: if abortion was illegal in the United States, should women be punished? That was the question. And I'll replay that to remind you, give you the full context in a minute. Now, Chris Matthews is a Democrat. He's a liberal Democrat. He might even call himself a progressive. I don't know. I don't watch Chris Matthews that much. And Donald Trump, for 40 years, was a businessman. He's a developer, a real estate developer. He wasn't a policymaker. He wasn't an expert on all the political issues. The point I'm trying to make, he was an outsider. He's not part of the Washington establishment, whether it's the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. And neither am I. And neither are most people. Probably 99% of the people are not part of the establishment. Probably less than that. The 1% are the establishment. And that includes the people that own and run businesses. And Donald Trump, as a businessman, was part of the donor class. That part of the establishment, he gave the money to the politicians, both Democrat and Republican, because it, as a developer, one of your biggest problems is to convince primarily local and city, sometimes county and state governments, to be able to build or make modifications to buildings. And you're in competition, and it's always useful to know politicians that you can have access to and you can call and tell your problems or concerns. Now, if you talk to most businessmen, and I used to be one, and virtually all my clients were, one of the things they stay away from is politics and religion. When I'm there talking to a client, I'm there talking business. And I was usually trying to market or sell either investments or securities. So I'm making a sales presentation or a sales pitch. And the business owner, frankly, did not care what religion I was, did not care what my politics were. He wanted to know, how can you benefit me? And talk to any businessmen, especially successful ones, that they'll tell you that. Stay away from religion. Stay away from politics. Focus on the business transaction or the business relationship. Now, occasionally, I ran into clients that would like to get you to state your either political or religious views. I, frankly, would try to dodge the question. I wasn't here for that. If you want to talk religion, I suggest you go to your minister, priest, rabbi, whoever, or go to the church where you go. When I'm there, it's usually during the week, sometimes in the evenings, but mainly during working hours. And religion and politics were seldom the subject. Now, obviously, if there's an election, there might be some questions, but I deliberately stayed away from it. And most businessmen will tell you that. Stay away from it. Don't try to get you associated with either Democrat or the Republican Party. Now, I had strong views. Don't get the impression I don't have strong views. I did, but I'm not a preacher. I'm not a politician. That's how I handle it, and that's how most business people handle it. For many, many years, Donald Trump, that's the way he handled it. I'm giving this for a reason. He's not an insider in the sense he's not a politician. He's not a career politician. And he's certainly not a bureaucrat that's thought on policy matters, and nor is he an activist. And in a minute, I'll show why that's relevant. Now, if you listen to past shows, especially, about 6 months to a year ago, I gave a list of the four favorite candidates that I could vote for. At the top of that list, and this list has changed, and I've had people on the list that I took off the list and then put back on, and then what happens during a campaign people are successful and people aren't successful. In other words, the name of the game in the primaries is to get, if you're in the Republican primary, to get 1,237 delegates. To do that, you have to win both in primaries and caucus states. And if you come up with that number or more, when you go to the Republican convention, you'll get nominated by the Republican Party to be their standard bearer. And right now, Donald Trump is in the lead by about 290 delegates. I said by April 1st, we'll know most likely who the Republican candidate will be, and that is Donald Trump. Because as much as I like Ted Cruz, and I do, he has no real chance in my mind to get to 1,237. And as a campaign goes along, both candidates are going to make mistakes. Donald Trump has made mistakes, so has Ted Cruz. And your opinion does change. But the reality is, and I'm no Republican, I need to emphasize that, I'm not a Republican. So technically, I don't care who gets the nomination. The only thing I care about, who do I get to vote for in November? And if it's none of the above, then I stay home. That could happen. I doubt it will happen, but it could happen. Depends who gets nominated and how. So I think right now Donald Trump is going to get the nomination. The only question mark or uncertainty is whether or not he'll get to that magic number of 1,237. I think he will. But it's going to be very, very close, and every delegate will count. And remember, those delegates are only bound to either Donald Trump or Ted Cruz or John Kasich on the first ballot. For most states, after the first ballot, the delegates are free agents. Now, what's happening, which I don't particularly like, but I know it goes on, is Ted Cruz is trying to get delegates, both in Arizona and Louisiana, where Trump won, in Arizona he won, to vote for him on the second ballot. In other words, he has what's called a better ground game, so he's talking to delegates, trying to get them to vote for him, even though initially they're pledged to Donald Trump. Now, if Donald Trump had a good ground game, he would make sure the delegates that are charged with voting for him are loyal to him. And that's Donald Trump and his organization's job to do that. Ted Cruz can play these games, and he's playing the game, folks. I think this is rather early for that kind of action, but Ted Cruz mathematically is not going to get the nomination on the first ballot. There's no way. He might win tomorrow. I really don't know, but I don't think so for this reason. We're seeing a lot of polls. Some are showing it's more or less dead even. Or within the margin of error, so you can't rely on those polls. There are other polls that say, well, Ted Cruz has 10 points. That's one aspect to it. The other aspect to it is I'm hearing over and over again, it's driving me nuts. Remember I said the what I call big media, your television networks, but also your major newspapers. They have a narrative or story that they're peddling. It's really propaganda. It has some truth to it, but frankly, very little. They're trying to make the case that Donald Trump can't get elected. No way. In the general election, he can't get elected because his unfavorables are terrible, especially amongst women. Well, that's true to extent, but compared to who? Hillary Clinton? Donald Trump has been winning primaries. Hillary Clinton, the last five, she's lost, and she might lose Wisconsin tomorrow. Now, she has a good shot in New York, but she's not attracting much enthusiasm amongst the Democratic Party base. The person who is Bernie Sanders. Now, I don't think Bernie Sanders is going to get the nomination. And I'm not and part of the problem is her legal problems, and I think they're going to get worse before they get better, regarding her handling of highly classified information. We're talking top secret and above, special compartmented information, SAP programs that have real sensitive, special access programs that could get people killed. That's why there's special access. And her handling of all those documents and emails is a clear violation of several federal statutes. So it's only a matter of time before the FBI Director James Comey submits a criminal referral to the Justice Department. And then the Justice Department attorneys, prosecutors, have to determine after evaluating the evidence whether they go forward. I think the evidence is overwhelming. It's not a close call here. It's not a question of prosecution discretion, but it will be politicized because the final decision will be made by the Attorney General whether or not to go forward and establish a grand jury if one is not sitting and then present the evidence to the grand jury, because it's only the grand jury that can actually charge an indictor. And that will probably happen in the next 3 to 9 months. I don't know when, but sooner rather than later. And once that happens, then she's really damaged goods, because that's a story even the big media, your television networks and your newspapers have to cover. It'll be the story that has legs and will continue. And I think that will sink her candidacy. And even if she gets the nomination, she might very well get the nomination, although I think it's going to be closer than even she thinks. But she'll get the nomination, mainly because of the superdelegates. So if she gets the nomination and then this happens, would you vote for her? Would you vote for someone that's under criminal indictment for many, many counts? I don't think so. I don't think the American people would. But here's something that is not looked. They keep knocking Donald Trump with his problem with women. Well, this might surprise you, but, well, men don't like her. So she has high unfavorables with men. But guess who even doesn't like her more? In other words, she has higher unfavorables with women. There are a lot of women that don't like her. So I'm not buying this propaganda that Donald Trump is unelectable and Hillary Clinton is going to have a landslide victory if Donald Trump is the candidate. I think that's propaganda largely being propagated by the big media, the television networks and even Fox, and both the left, right, and middle. Even conservatives are trying to make that case. Well, there's a problem with that. Donald Trump is the front runner. He's winning primaries and caucuses. He's leading Ted Cruz by several million votes, and at this stage, 290 delegates. That's why I don't think Ted Cruz, although I would vote for him if he were the nominee, is going to get the nomination. The only question is whether is Donald Trump going to have more than 1,237 or equal to it, in which case he gets the nomination, or is he going to get close to it? I think he's going to get close to it. I think he'll probably get about 1,100, maybe 1,150. But you need, according to the rules, it's an old rule, you need the half plus one, half the delegates plus one. And here's why I think they're going to have to nominate him. Because he has attracted a lot of voters, and some are Democrats, some have never voted for before, either Democrat or Republican. That's a large percentage of the Republican base. And you want those new voters, and you want those people that are first-time voters. That, together with the fact that he has a lot of support amongst businesses, namely their owners, both large and small, primarily small and local businesses, has high favorables amongst men. But his problem with women in terms of unfavorable percentages is less than Hillary. And he's winning. And that's the key. He's winning. None of the other candidates at the Republican Party that were running in the Republican Party primaries and caucuses caught on, period. They didn't. I know, because several of them I was for. Now, last week, Donald Trump got in trouble over the questioning regarding abortion, and if it were, and the hypothetical question was, and I'll play it in a minute, if abortion were illegal in the United States, should women be punished? Now, I made a point last week when I was covering this. Most crimes, misdemeanors, or felonies, if some conduct is against the law, there's usually a penalty. It could be a fine, or it could be jail time, or time served, or prison time. Depends on the seriousness of the charge. And think about it. If you jaywalk in a city like New York City and a cop catches you, you're going to get a citation. You're going to have to pay a fine. If you're on the highways, at least in Texas, I've gotten a few, not many, but a few. If you're speeding and a cop catches you, you can appeal it, but usually the judge or justice of the peace will side with the police officer. You're going to get punished, usually with a fine. If you don't have insurance, the same thing. If you don't have a current license, you're going to get fined. So whether it's small or minor activities that are crimes, you pay a penalty. You get punished. That's the punishment, is money. However, if you murder someone, you have a trial and are found guilty, that's the most serious crime, and you most likely, in Texas, be executed or life imprisonment, one of the two. Texas is one of those states that still has the death penalty, and I'm in favor of the death penalty. Now, I bring that up because if you ask anyone, if a law was passed outlawing a certain conduct, should there be punishment? I'd say 99% of the people would say, yeah, Now, it's up to, really, who? The people that pass these laws, as well as the judge, to determine what is the appropriate punishment, if any. And the punishment could be a fine, or it could be jail time, or it could be community service. No matter what it is, it's a punishment. If it's a fine, that's money out of your wallet. Your hard-earned money goes to, in this case, if it's a traffic violation, to the city of Dallas. And when we were in a recession across the country, people were noticing and complaining as the cops were really cracking down on traffic violations that either weren't or very minor. And I'll say something that I've heard before in court. Not to me, but the Justice of the Peace will say, if the speed limit is 65 and you're doing 66, and that's what the police officer says you were doing, you broke the law. It doesn't matter whether it's 1 mile or 5 miles or 10, you're over the speed limit, you're guilty. Now, most people know in Texas, people drive over the speed limit all the time. And what the police officers usually do, and most people know this, if you're between 5 and 10, you're right in a very gray area. But if you're over 10 miles over the posted speed limit and the cop catches you, you're going to get ticketed and you're going to have a day in court and pay the fine. Now, sometimes you can just pay the fine, plead guilty and pay the fine. So crimes are punished. Murder, obviously, it's more severe. You could lose your life, or you could spend the rest of your life in prison or a very long time in prison. Again, it depends on the circumstances, and it depends what the jury thinks your punishment should be in most states. Now, one thing that's happened, it's been in the news periodically. It's happened in Texas, but it's happened in other states. A husband and wife, for whatever reason, are not getting along. And one spouse really can't stand the other. It could be a man or a woman. And they hire someone to kill the other spouse. That's a serious crime, folks. And you could lose your life. And you very much, if found guilty, could spend the rest of your life in prison. The person that actually commits the murder is also guilty of a serious crime, namely murder. And if found guilty by a jury of his peers, most likely in Texas will be executed or spend the rest of his life in prison. Now, with that said, think about the question, the hypothetical question that was asked to Donald Trump. If abortion was illegal in the United States, it isn't illegal in the United States because of the Supreme Court decision Roe versus Wade. But if it were, if we went back to where it was illegal in the United States, or which I prefer, each state decide whether or not it should be legal or illegal or not. If it were illegal in a state, would you support punishment for women? Now, he, again, is a businessman. He just got into this in June, running as a politician. And he gave an answer that, on the face of it, I didn't have a problem with it, but I knew he was going to have a problem. Because I think if there's a crime committed, there should be some punishment. Now, I didn't say what that is, but there should be some punishment recognizing the fact that you have committed a crime. Now, what happened was there was a firestorm, and this became the topic of discussion on talk radio, news shows, really going through the weekend. And Donald Trump quickly, several times, amended his answer. The bottom line is, he said, yes, doctors should be punished for killing the baby. But no, I don't think women should go to prison or face punishment for having an abortion. The fact that they're having an abortion is punishment enough. Donald Trump now is pro-life. At one time, he was not. He was pro-choice, or I prefer to say pro-abortion. People have, on this issue, changed their mind. Most have changed their mind from being pro-choice to being pro-life. Very few go the other way. The majority of the people that have changed have gone from a pro-abortion stance to a pro-life stance. And usually there's an event that have changed their mind, and they'll point to it and can discuss it, and Donald Trump can. So as far as I'm concerned, at this point, Donald Trump is pro-life, and the only exceptions he has is the person was either raped or a case of incest, or the life of the mother is threatened. Many people hold that view. I have problems with it, especially on the last one, because given the advances in medical science, only a very, 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 very small percentage of those women that are pregnant, life is really threatened by if they actually deliver the baby. Some, yes, but overwhelming majority, over 90, 95%, even higher than that. Their lives are not threatened. The problem is doctors will say they are, and because of that, an abortion is performed. That's sort of the loophole, if you will. So I think that there needs to be language on that. So when I was preparing this show, I ran across something. I remember seeing it early, but I'd totally forgotten about it. Rand Paul is very much pro-life, and he was at the top of my list in terms of the people running that I could vote for. I believe at that time Ted Cruz was second. Walker was on the list, but then withdrew. Ben Carson was on the list, then withdrew. I put Donald Trump on the list, took him off the list, put him back, and I did the same thing with Rand Paul, mainly in the immigration area, not regarding the issue of abortion. So to start the conversation, if you will, I want to play two clips of Rand Paul. I know he was running. He's running for the second term in the Senate. Remember, he is a doctor, and he is pro-life, and he does reflect my views. He's probably the closest to it. So let me, without further ado, just play.
Big issue for me, and I tell people that really it's all about when life begins. You know, I'm a physician. One of the things that I would do in my job is to go into the pediatric nursery, and I would examine babies that are one-pound babies, looking in their eye to try to make sure that they didn't suffer from blindness from being born prematurely. And the interesting thing is when you're in the neonatal nursery and you got a one-pound baby, everybody acknowledges that that baby has rights. The Bill of Rights applies to that baby, and nobody can hurt that baby. It's a one-pound baby. But a week before, even a full-term seven-pound baby has no rights, according to the way people are looking at it. And I think that's a big mistake. So I've introduced legislation called the Life at Conception Act to define when life begins at conception. I've also probably co-sponsored 20-some-odd pro-life bills. I have 100% voting record for pro-life. But I also have taken the time to go to the March for Life. And I think when I was there, I was the only senator that showed up for the March for Life. And so I do think it's important because I think, and I'll often say in my speeches, that I don't think a civilization can long endure that doesn't respect the rights of the unborn.
His view totally is in agreement with mine. I am definitely pro-life and believe that babies in the womb should be protected under the Constitution, which means that we need a constitutional amendment that does that. Now, before Roe versus Wade, my position was very clear. Each state should have a responsibility, and the people of the state need to make their views known to the state legislatures that they want the baby in the womb to have the right to be born. In other words, banning abortions. But with Roe versus Wade, you can't have abortions in any state today. So I support the efforts in Congress of Rand Paul and other people to change the Constitution, either pass a law or change the Constitution, stopping abortions. Do I think it's going to happen soon? Not really. Why? The American people are very much divided over the question of abortions. It's not quite 50-50, but the numbers change. They change over time. Today, pro-life has a slight edge, but that could change in the next coming years. And for various reasons. The point I'm trying to make is this issue almost splits the American people down the middle. Because of that, it's unlikely that we'll have a constitutional amendment protecting the baby in the womb. We might be able to pass a law, but even that's going to be difficult. Now, I want to play one more clip. It's short. Again, Rand Paul giving a speech on this.
You go back and you ask Debbie Wasserman Schultz if she's okay with killing a 7-pound baby that is just not yet born. Ask her when life begins, and you ask Debbie when she's willing to protect life. When you get an answer from Debbie, come back to me.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator?
As a teenager, I gave my first public speech in my church. My hand shook, my heart pounded. I thought to myself, I can't do this, but somehow I did, and because I wanted to talk about things that were important, I persisted. I chided my church as a senior in high school for not seeming to care about the not yet born, for looking the other way, and for not taking a stand on life.
As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of 1-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
Let's ask the Debbie Wasserman Schultz of this world, when does life begin? When does the baby have rights? Do you know what she said? She said, that's between their doctor and their mother.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
That's one reason he was at the top of my list. He was the strongest on pro-life because he wanted to make sure that the unborn have that constitutional right of life. Now, I want to refresh your memory, and I want to give the whole context, and then I want to give the subsequent amendment or revision, if you will. Well, first, let me run this. And this is why a lot of people have reservations with Donald Trump. He was pro-choice at one time, and then he changed his position. And this is what a lot of people that don't like Trump, especially in the Cruz camp, will remind you. But they need to be fair in the sense that people do change their mind. Ronald Reagan changed his mind on this subject. There are many people that have changed their mind. This is Donald Trump when he was much younger and not running for president.
Partial birth abortion, the eliminating of abortion in the third trimester. Big issue in Washington. Would President Trump ban partial birth abortion?
Look, I'm very pro-choice. I hate the concept of abortion. I hate it. I hate everything it stands for. I cringe when I listen to people debating the subject. But you still, I just believe in choice. And again, it may be a little bit of a New York background because there is some different attitude in different parts of the country. And, you know, I was raised in New York and grew up in New York and everything else in New York City. But I am strongly for choice, and yet I hate the concept of abortion.
But you would not ban it?
No.
Or ban partial birth abortion?
No, I am pro-choice in every respect and as far as it goes, but I just hate it.
Where are you now on the question of if abortion should be illegal and whether same-sex marriages should be allowed?
Well, I'm pro-life, and I have
what does that mean to you?
Well, it means it's an issue. I mean, it is an issue, and it's a strong issue. And as far as same-sex marriage, I should be making
abortion
it.
Even in pregnancy, early in the pregnancy, is murder to you?
No. What I'm saying is this, with caveats: life of the mother, incest, rape. And that's where I stand. And it's so I'm pro-life, but with the caveats. And you have to have with the caveats.
Right.
So it's pro-life, you know, just because it's the first time you've asked me this question.
Huh? Well, that's the problem. A lot of people here care about the issue.
That's right. So it's pro-life, right? But it's life of the mother, very important, incest and rape.
Okay. So say a woman is pregnant and it's not in any of those exception categories and she chooses to have an abortion.
It depends when.
Well,
it depends when. If it's not in those, I'm pro-life.
Yeah.
Mark, very simple. Pro-life.
Well, I certainly think as the process goes along more and more, and a lot of people are talking about the 20 weeks and certainly there, but absolutely as the process goes along, I would look at the good aspects of it, and I would also look, because I'm sure they do some things properly and good and good for women, and I would look at that.
A couple of points. If you're going to run as a Republican, which Donald Trump is, I would say to get the nomination, you have to be pro-life. And I think Donald Trump was told that, and he switched his position. What does he believe today? I'm not sure. I still have some reservations here. I'll accept he's pro-life. He keeps saying it. But he's not as strong on pro-life, for example, as Rand Paul was, and for that matter, Ted Cruz. He has what I would say the more or less middle-of-the-road position on abortion. But where I think he's definitely wrong, and I think he's making a mistake, but I think it's a calculated decision on his part, is whether or not federal government money, in other words, your tax money, should go to fund Planned Parenthood. I say definitely not. They're in the business of performing abortions. That's where they get most of their money. Not all their money, but most of their money. And yes, he's right, they do other services, but the majority of their services is abortions, as well as selling baby parts. So again, he's not, in my mind, as strong in terms of the pro-life than he could be. And the question is, if pro-life is a hot button or deal breaker issue with you, and it is with me, would you vote for him? Now, I made very clear, if anyone is clearly pro-choice, pro-abortion, I don't vote for him. I don't care on any of the other issues. If he's wrong on that, he's not going to get my vote. And I think that reflects not all the Republican base, but probably the majority. Now, what caused the problem? This, again, was in a town hall meeting. Let me just play the clip.
Should the woman be punished for having an abortion?
Look.
This is not something you can dodge.
If abortion is a crime
or abortion is murder, you have to deal with it under the law. Should abortion be punished?
Well, people in certain parts of the Republican Party and conservative Republicans would say, yes, they should be punished.
How about you?
I would say that it's a very serious problem, and it's a problem that we have to decide on. It's very hard.
But you're forbidding
it. Are you going to say put them in jail? Is that what you're talking about?
Because you say you want to ban it.
I am pro-life, yes.
How do you ban abortion? How do you actually do it?
Well, you know, you'll go back to a position like they had where people will perhaps go to illegal places.
Yeah.
But you have to ban it.
They go to somebody who flunked out of medical school.
Are you Catholic?
Yes, I think I.
And how do you feel about the Catholic Church's position?
I accept the teaching authority of my church on moral issues.
But do you know their position on abortion?
Yes, I do.
And do you concur with that position?
I concur with their moral position, but legally, question. Here's my problem.
But let me ask you. But what do you say about?
It's not funny.
Your church? Yeah, it's really not a funny thing. What do you say about your church? They're very, very strong.
They're allowed to, but the churches make their moral judgments. But you running for president of the United States will be chief executive of the United States. Do you believe in punishment for abortion? Yes or no? As a principle?
The answer is that there has to be some form of punishment.
For the woman.
Now that is what got him in trouble. That last, very last portion. Now, he quickly revised his position. Didn't surprise me. And let me play. Well, first, here's Donald Trump earlier this year, prior to this.
Mr. Trump, on the anniversary of Roe versus Wade, you wrote a beautiful op-ed piece in the Washington Examiner. If you folks haven't read it, I think you need to read it. It was an outstanding essay on why you believe the culture of life is so important. Do you care to just share a kind of a general view of your stance there? It was an excellent essay.
Well, you know, when I was in business, people wouldn't ask me pro-life, pro-choice. They wouldn't talk about that. You know, nobody. It's not like something that people talk about. It just wasn't. When you get into the world of public life or politics, then all of a sudden it does become a big issue because it's a very important issue, and it's an issue that's very close to many people's hearts. And I never really gave it much thought. I knew how I felt, but I never gave it much thought. And just like Ronald Reagan and many others changed their views on that and other things. I mean, they changed their views on so many things. Ronald Reagan, I always use him as an example because as you evolve, and especially me, because I came from such a strong business environment, and then all of a sudden I'm in the world of politics, and all of a sudden you start thinking out issues that are different. And by the way, you give up other issues that you don't think about to the same extent, meaning business issues. But Ronald Reagan was a somewhat liberal Democrat, and he became a somewhat conservative Republican he evolved over a period of years, and he became a great president, most importantly. I mean, I thought he was a great president. I thought it had a great feel. Our country had a great feel. And I thought he was a terrific guy. And I knew him, and I helped him, and I worked with him a little bit. He knew me. I think he liked me, and I liked him, but not well, but we helped him. And when it comes to pro-life, I've evolved on that. And part of it is that a friend of mine was choice. He was all the way choice. And they had a baby, and they were going to have a baby, and he didn't want to have the baby. And the wife did very, very strongly, and they fought and fought and fought. And she won. And they had the baby, right? See? It's true. And I know it so well, and they're wonderful people, but they had the baby. And the baby turned out to be a superstar, just a superstar, an amazing child, an amazing person. And that had a huge impact on me for some reason, because this person, and whenever I see him, he says, can you imagine if I didn't have the baby? And he was very much in favor of terminating, and he didn't terminate because the wife is a strong woman, like some women are, and wanted to do it. And that had an impact on me. And there were other things too, but that had a very big impact on me. So for those folks that are pro-life, I can fully, you know, I concur with you 100%. Thank you.
Okay, and I played the clips out of order. I apologize. Should have played that first before I played the Chris Matthews question. But now this one is after the Chris Matthews interview, where Donald Trump clarifies his position.
Let me ask you a question about abortion. What would you do to further restrict women's access to abortions as president?
Well, look, I know where you're going, and I just want to say, a question was asked to me, and it was asked in a very hypothetical, and it was said illegal. I've been told by some people that was a older line answer, and that was an answer that was given on a basis of an older line from years ago, on a very conservative basis. But
your original answer, you mean?
My original,
but it was punishing women.
I was asked as a hypothetically. The laws are set now on abortion, and that's the way they're going to remain until they're changed.
Because you had said you wanted, you told Bloomberg in January that you believed abortion should be banned at some point in pregnancy. Where would you?
I would have liked to have seen, this be a states' rights. I would have preferred states' rights. I think it would have been better if it were up to the states. But right now the laws are set, and that's the way the laws are.
But do you have a feeling how they should change? There are a lot of laws you want to change. You've talked about them on everything from libel to torture. Anything you'd want to change
at
on
this
abortion?
At this moment, the laws are set, and I think we have to leave it that way.
Do you think it's murder, abortion?
I have my opinions on it, but I'd rather not comment on it.
You said you're very pro-life. Pro-life views
pro-life.
That it's abortion.
Yeah,
abortion is murder.
Yeah, but I do have my opinions on it. I'd rather... I just don't think it's an appropriate forum.
But you don't disagree with that proposition, that it's murder?
What proposition?
That abortion is murder.
No, I don't disagree with it.
Okay, that was Donald Trump after his interview with Chris Matthews, clarifying his position. Now to Hillary Clinton. I have a lot of, I'm looking at the time. I want to play this first. I'm running out of time, but I really do want to play this because one of the questions is, when does human life begin? This is a useful video, and I'm going to play it.
Many people who support legal abortion say, we can't know when life begins. And because we can't know, they say, this means pro-lifers should not impose their religious belief that life begins at conception on others by outlawing abortion. But the claim that a human being's life begins at conception isn't religious dogma. It's actually a scientific fact. We can know three things about the unborn that tell us when human life begins. We know the unborn are alive, they are human, and they are whole organisms. First, the unborn take in nutrients and grow via cellular reproduction. Second, the unborn are the offspring of human parents and have human DNA. And finally, the unborn are human organisms, like you or me, whereas sperm, egg, and body cells are merely human tissue and do not have any rights. You, me, infants, and the unborn are all human organisms. That's because we all have an intrinsic capacity to develop as organisms, a capacity that body cells do not have. This is true even if we die before we grow up into mature members of our species. No matter how much time or nutrients you give sperm, eggs, and other body cells, they can never develop into a mature member of a species. That is because these cells are not organisms. They are instead body parts that belong to a larger human organism. And it is that organism that deserves special rights, including the right to life. Adult, teenager, child, infant, fetus, embryo, blastocyst, zygote, these are all stages of development in the life of a human organism. Shouldn't we treat all human organisms, or what we usually call human beings, equally, regardless of what level of development they're currently at?
I had to cut off the video because I am running out of time, but yes, my answer to that question is yes. But let's hear what Hillary Clinton has to say.
You know, also this week, you were pretty tough on Donald Trump on one of his positions on abortion. He had five different positions that we've counted up this week on abortion. I want to ask you, what is yours? Give me your straightforward position on the issue of abortion.
My position is in line with Roe v. Wade, that women have a constitutional right to make these most intimate and personal and difficult decisions based on their conscience, their faith, their family, their doctor, and that it is something that really goes to the core of privacy. Mm-hmm. And I want to maintain that constitutional protection under Roe v. Wade. As you know, there is room for reasonable kinds of restrictions after a certain point in time. I think the life, the health of the mother are clear, and those should be included even as one moves on in pregnancy.
When or if doesn't...
I've had the same right. position for many years.
When or if does an unborn child have constitutional rights?
Well, under our laws, currently, that is not something that exists. The unborn person doesn't have constitutional rights. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't do everything we possibly can in the vast majority of instances to, mm-hmm. you know, help a mother who is carrying a child and wants to make sure that child will be healthy, to have appropriate medical support. It doesn't mean that you don't do everything possible to try to fulfill your obligations, but it mm-hmm. does not include sacrificing the woman's right to make decisions. And I think that's an important distinction that under Roe v. Wade we've had enshrined under our Constitution.
You had said you're for some, there are room for some restrictions. So is it fair to say that women don't always have a full right to choose?
Well, under Roe v. Wade, that is the law. And as I said, I support the reasoning and the outcome in Roe v. Wade. So in the third trimester mm-hmm. of pregnancy, there is room for looking at the life and the health of the mother. Now, most people, not all Republicans, not all conservatives, even agree with the life of the mother, but most do. Where the distinction comes in is the health of the mother. And when you have candidates running for president who say that there should be no exceptions, not for rape, not for incest, not for health, mm-hmm. Then I think you've gotten pretty extreme. And my view has always been, this is a choice. It is not a mandate. You know, I have traveled all over the world. I have seen what happens when governments make these decisions, whether it was forced sterilization, forced abortion in China, yeah. or forced childbearing in communist Romania. So I don't think that we should be allowing the government to make decisions that really properly belong to the individual.
I emphatically disagree with. The law should be changed, and we should protect the right to the life of the unborn. And I'm not going to convince her, and she's not going to convince me. And that's probably where it stands. The people of the United States, the American citizens, are divided on this issue, fundamentally divided on the issue. However, I would support efforts to overturn Roe versus Wade and outlaw abortions, because I don't believe women have a choice of killing their unborn baby. You don't have a right to murder babies. And that's what we're talking about. I disagree with, Trump did finally say that abortions are murder, but that is in fact what you're doing. You're murdering, you're killing an unborn human being. You don't have any right in the Constitution to do that. Roe versus Wade is a good example of the Supreme Court exceeding their authority. They're writing a new right into the Constitution that simply is not there. And it's up to Congress to change that decision, either through passing a law outlawing abortions or through a constitutional amendment. Both will be difficult to do because of the division amongst the United States population. I hope and pray at some point in the not too distant future that more and more people will share my view, and I think the majority of American people believe this, that abortion should be outlawed, that you are killing a baby, you are killing another human being, a developing human being that's developing in the womb. And I've provided some more information on proncpops.wordpress.com. I don't have time. I'm really out of time. But what's interesting, the pro-choice people are criticizing Hillary Clinton, because she didn't call it a fetus. She called it an unborn person. I would call it an unborn baby. And you don't have a right to kill babies. And that's what we're talking about. You see, they want the killers, the baby killers, want to call it tissue. It's not a tissue. It's a human organism that's developing. And deep down, the liberals and progressives know they're killing another human being. Yet I hear from women all the time, I have the right to choose whether or not I can kill, they don't use the word kill, have an abortion. No, you don't have the right to kill your baby in the womb. Thank you for listening, and now, America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.